today, and the gift and card. We appreciate that so much. And then don't forget, Tuesday is voting day. Remember that? Election day. And then we're praying for Nancy Ford especially. She is still at Shenandoah, I think, still is a patient there. Just pray that she'll get well. And also her husband, I think everyone knows, passed away, went to be with the Lord on Thursday, Don Fort. And his services, I got it off the internet, are going to be Wednesday at the Campbell Innes Klotzbach Funeral Home, visitation 9:30 to 11, and the funeral service is at 11 until 12. So keep that in mind and be praying for the family. Pray also for Sylvia and her family in the death of her brother recently. And just pray that they might be comforted at this time. Okay. I had the Gideons come by. Well, Rick Meister's one of them. And Dave Ellis, we're here this week. And we've arranged a meeting for the Gideon presentation. We haven't had them for quite a while now. That's on January 14th, so you got a while to think about that. But anyway, they'll be here for that Sunday morning to give a presentation about the Gideons. Okay. Let's see now. Oh, the other things I've got over here. Next week, we're having a deacons meeting after church. And then on November the 15th, Wednesday night, we're having the congregational meeting. We do these twice a year, right? So come on out for that. 7 o'clock on November the 15th. And then our movie night. Movie night is the 17th. Friday the 17th at 7 o'clock. So, and then we have Thanksgiving service. Can you believe it? We're coming up to Thanksgiving already? My goodness. I thought it was still summertime. What? Anyway, the Thanksgiving service is going to be on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving Day, November 22nd at 7 o'clock. So keep that in mind and come on out for that. Give thanks to the Lord. We seek to do that all the time, right? But this is a special day that they've set aside. Thank goodness it's something good that the government has arranged, you know. We have a Thanksgiving Day to give praise and honor to God. It's surprising that they still do that, but they do. Anyway, that's good. So let's take advantage of that. All right. What else have I got? Be praying one for another, those who are going through difficult times right now. I know Clark and Lynette are not here this morning. Some sickness there. Pray also for Jane Wagner. She's not feeling too well. And so keep her in prayer. And see who else. Oh, Rick and Donna have gone up to Indiantown Gap like they do each year, visiting his father's grave and having the veterans service that they have once a year. Okay, and something about Veterans Day. If you're a veteran, don't you get a meal or something? Do you get a free meal? I think you do. Don't forget that. You know, that's important, isn't it? Okay. Anyway. Let's see what else. Like I said, I do have the obituary here for Don Fort, if anybody wants to see it or anything, it's online. And don't forget about the when they're going to have it on Wednesday. Okay. And we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Beginning at verse number 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you should abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles who know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more, and that you study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's pray together. Father, what a comfort it is to know that you are good and gracious and loving and kind, that you're with us now as we're here on earth, and you've promised us a place for all of eternity in your presence. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We believe, we've put our faith and trust in you, and we do love you, Lord. We pray that you'll help us to walk in righteousness and truth and do what is good and perfect in your sight. Help us, our Father, day by day to be Christians, to be believers, to walk in faith and trust and confidence. We do pray, our Father, for those today who are grieving, those who are bereaved over the loss of their loved ones. We pray for the Baumgartner family. We pray for the Fort family and all of their loved ones. And we just pray that you will undertake and meet their needs. Be with those that are still suffering physically. We think of Nancy Fort. We know that she's going through a great deal right now. And we just pray that you might undertake for her and heal her and help her to be able to cope with everything that's happening. And Lord, we just thank you for all that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray for our country today. We pray that you'll help us, that we might honor you and magnify you as a country. Blessed is the country whose God is the Lord. May it be so. May it be so, our Father. And we pray, dear Father, for Israel today and all the conflict and war that's going on over there. We just pray that you'll give victory over the enemies, over those who would destroy this nation. And Father, we pray yet somehow, whatever your will is about this conflict, that it might be done. And Lord, just have your way. We thank also the situation in Ukraine. We know that that's turned everything upside down for those people. And we pray that you'll undertake for them also and help them. And we pray that somehow there might be peace. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem as you've told us to. We just pray, Lord, your holy will may be done. Guide and direct us now throughout this service. May we honor you and magnify your name and bless us throughout today. In Jesus' name, amen. To these new Christians, he tells them, basically in this chapter, how to walk and please God. The walk of faith, the walk of truth, how we are to walk and please the Father. Notice the first thing we see here is that we're to walk in holiness and purity. That's what he's saying here in this first part. Notice it says in verse 1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. See, that's it. Just determine in your heart that you are going to please the Father. You're going to do his will. He says walk. When it talks about walking, of course, it's talking about living, isn't it? You know, our walk in this world, whether you're able to walk or not. Some people can't walk, but they can still live for the Lord, can't they? And no matter who you are, we can seek to please God. You know, I know, now, you're going to say, well, maybe you won't, but some people might. Well, we don't have to please God. We're saved by faith, aren't we? We don't have to do anything, right? Is that true? Yeah, not really. If you read your Bible, you find out that God works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You see? Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? The Holy Spirit is there to guide you and lead you more and more into the will of God. Now, I know, we all fall, we all have problems, right? But God will help us if it's in our heart to truly please him, to walk with him, and to abound more and more, he says. You know, that's what it needs. And he says, you know, the commandments. He gives an example here that we'll have to see about. He says, you know the commandments. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Now that word fornication is a word that covers all the different sexual immorality problems, right? And you say, well, what are you bringing that up for? Well, I'm just reading the Bible. And here we are. Here we are. He says, stay away from any kind of fornication. So, these believers were living there in this pagan country, Thessalonica, part of Greece at that time, and they lived in a society that practiced open immorality. Now, we, of course, don't know anything about that in our nation, do we? Yeah? Oh, my goodness sake. Don't get me started. Anyway, marriage vows said nothing about being faithful to your spouse. They didn't even say you're supposed to do it. And they just lived immorally. It was accepted that a man would have a mistress and visit prostitutes. That was acceptable practice, right? And in fact, it was a part of their religion. Certain places, they had these so-called virgins that people could go in and visit with, and it was part of their worship. Can you imagine? And yet God says, no, we're supposed to avoid, abstain from all kinds of sexual immorality. It just don't fit in with the Christian life. We can't do it. It just don't work. And so anyway, Paul says here, I beseech you and exhort you to walk and please God, not yourselves. You know? Do not follow the example of these other people. You might say, oh, well, everybody is doing it, right? Well, that may be true. But you can't do it and please God. Huh? You can do it, but you won't please God if you do. So, he's saying here, he says, you have started out to live to please God, abound more and more. Just make it a practice to live righteously before him. Look with me at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So make it a practice to serve God and keep away from anything that would destroy that possibility. And obey the word of God that he has given to you. He says, you know that which the Lord Jesus has given us to do. Commandments here is the word for commands given by a military officer to his men. He expects them to carry it out, right? When the general says something to the colonel, he expects him to do it. And if he doesn't, he's in trouble. And the same thing with us. When God tells us to do something, we should do it or refrain from doing the wrong thing. So this is God's will, he says. People want to know what God's will is. Well, here it is. Stay away from sin. Stay away from this kind of immorality. It's your, he says, your sanctification. What does that mean? Sanctification means being set apart for a special purpose. Oh. So once we're saved, we have something we're supposed to do, right? We're set apart for a special purpose, to serve God. God has called each Christian to live a pure life in order to accomplish the work he has for them to do, you know, that we might have a good testimony. When a person gets married, he or she is sanctified for one person, right? You're sanctified. You're set apart for that one person, nobody else, all right? And this is God's standard that we're to follow, right? Very simple. It's just a matter of doing it. And he says, control yourself. In verse 4, he says, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. In other words, you know, make sure you don't let your emotions carry you away, as we talked about in Sunday school. Don't get involved with others. Stay true and faithful to the one God has given you. That's it. And walk in fellowship with the Lord. This is His standard. Control yourself. And don't follow the example of the sinful world. He says you're not in the lust of concupiscence. You like that word? Concupiscence. What in the world does that mean? Well, let's see. What does concupiscence mean, if I can find it? It means lust, right? Lustful living. Just, you know, living the way you please. And it says here, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, Jesus said, if you have love one for another. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So, we have the love that God has given to us for our friends, but it's not the same as the love we have for our spouse. You see, it's different. And he says we have to not to walk in lust and the immorality of this world, even as the Gentiles who know not God. He says, don't follow the example of those who do not know the Lord. You know, we think about that a lot of times. And people, I think sometimes we as Christians expect unsaved people to live right. Huh? They don't. They don't. They don't have the help we have. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have the desire. They're walking after the flesh and enjoying themselves. You know? But it's important that we as believers don't follow this sensual living. Concupiscence, it says here, is sensuality, yielding to the desires of the flesh. We want to stay away from that. So, to disobey this commandment is not to disobey man, but God Himself. He's the one who gave the commandment, and so that's it. He therefore that despises not man, but God. He's given to us His Holy Spirit, and He will help us. Okay. So walk in, holiness and purity. Okay, the second point here is to walk in brotherly love. Now we've heard a lot about that, right? We talk about it all the time, and yet we do that because the Bible says that, right? That's the reason. And brotherly love is so important. Verse 9. As touching brotherly love, you need not that I write to you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. You know, we know that. God is teaching us to love one another. And we need to listen to His voice and obey Him. He says, you do. To all the people around you in Macedonia, but we want you to do it even more. You know? Love, love, love. Love makes the world go round, right? Huh? But the right kind of love, having concern and compassion for other people in their times of need, our brothers and sisters in Christ, if there's anything we can do to help them, then we should do it. God teaches us to love one another in His Bible, in the Word, and by His Spirit in our hearts, right? He teaches us. Increase more and more in this. And by this, Jesus said, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Right? Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There's always room for progress in our lives. We need to continue to grow in grace and knowledge. We need to grow in our faith, and we need to grow in our love for one another. The next thing he says, that we are to walk honestly. Walk in honesty. verse 11, he says that you study to be quiet. Study to be quiet. You know, we think about this day in which we live. How much quietness do you get? You're constantly watching the computer screen or your telephone. You know, we used to go to the doctor's office or something, you know, people sitting around, and you could talk to them. Today, here they are, you know, constantly, all the time, right? You don't do that, right? I won't ask you. But anyway, he says study to be quiet, to be diligent. It's hard to be quiet in this day in which we live. Always listening to something. We need to find a quiet spot, however, and have solitude to think. Think and to pray. To be alone in the presence of God. You know? That's something that we need, to be quiet before the Lord. And to be able to speak to others when we have the opportunity. Study to be quiet and to do your own business, right? Don't be so nosy into other people's business. He says, do your own business and to work with your own hands. There's a place, physical labor, right? As we commanded you. And that here says, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without. What does that mean? Without what? It means those who are on the outside of the church. Those who are unbelievers. It says that we need to walk honestly towards the unsaved. That we might show them that we are people of character. That we are God's people, and that we may have that you have that you have lack of nothing. I think I got it out. My goodness. Anyway, you know, this business of getting old is just not, you know, it's no fun, is it? What do you think? Anyway, I get my tongue all tied up and everything else. But anyway, walk honestly. You know what that means. Just be honest. Don't pretend to be something that you're not. Just be the real thing. And mind your own business. Focus on your own lives and make sure that you're doing what God wants you to do. We should be concerned about others, but it's not our place to tell them how to run their lives. What they have to do. We are not God. We can't do it ourselves. Someone said the only person you can really control is yourself, right? You can't tell somebody else what to do. You can urge them. You can try. You can't do it. Anyway, he said we should be concerned about others, but not to think that we are the only ones that have any truth. Peter asked Jesus, what about this man? He was talking about the Apostle John, wasn't he? You know, Jesus had already told Peter what was going to happen to him. When you're old, they'll take you where you don't want to go, you know. And he said, well, what about him? And Jesus said, if I will that he live until I come again, what's that to you, you know? In other words, he's saying, mind your own business. And that's what Paul says here. Mind your own business. But anyway, work with your hands. You know, Jesus was a carpenter. He did work. Paul was a tent maker, right? And we all have our works to do. We just need to do it. God expects us to work diligently and not be dependent on others. Now, some of the Christians at Thessalonica had misinterpreted what Paul said, and so they quit working. You know, oh, Jesus is coming, right? So let's go out here and sit down and wait for him to come. It's like waiting for Godot, right? Well, you know, he never comes. But Jesus is coming, though. That's the last part of this chapter. We'll see that. But they had quit working. They thought, you know, there's no need now. Jesus is coming. We can go to heaven. We've been talking a lot about that, haven't we? You know, there's a lot of different ones saying Jesus is coming, right? And I say it too. He is. But we don't know when. So what are we supposed to do until he comes? We're supposed to continue to serve God, aren't we? We're supposed to continue to be a witness for Christ in all that we do and say, and seek to bring others to know him as well before he does come. That's it. And we need to be a good witness to the unsaved, those who are without, to be honest in our dealings. A dishonest Christian, what in the world? That's the worst thing in the world, isn't it? One of them. Anyway, people see our actions and will be influenced to trust in Christ. Have lack of nothing, he says. You come to the place of real Christian maturity. Walk in fellowship with the Lord. And then this last part here is talking about the coming again. Walking in hope, in the hope of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. I want you to know the truth. Concerning them which are asleep. You know, they were worried about those who had died. Are they saved or are they going to be left behind? You know, when Jesus comes, what's going to happen? He says, you saw not even as others which have no hope. You know, people that are saved, they have no hope. What are they going to do when they die? That's, as far as they're concerned, that's the end. But it's not the end. They're going to live on in eternity, but in the worst possible way, separated from God and in punishment and pain. No hope. But we have hope, don't we? We believe that Jesus died and rose again. We do. We believe that. And even so, also them who sleep in Jesus, those who've gone on, who are believers, their bodies are sleeping in the grave. But God is going to bring them back with him. They're going to be reunited and be whole again, right? Is that true? Do you believe that? Yes. Yes, you do. Okay. We say this unto you by the word of the Lord. This is God's word. That we which are alive and remain, Paul still had hope. He was going to be there, right, when Jesus came. We who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede those who are asleep. We're all going to go up together. Our loved ones who have died, their bodies are in the grave. We're all going to go up together. And it says, for the Lord himself, not somebody else. He's not going to send an angel. No. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. They have further to go. You know, they've got, what, 6 feet or so? No, I don't know about that. But anyway, they're going to rise first, and we're all going to be caught up together. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, raptured. There's your word. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another. Comfort one another. You know, we don't have to despair. You see all this conflict and sickness and all these things that are coming to pass. We don't have to despair, do we? No. Comfort each other. Hey, did you know the Lord is coming? course he is. And we are going to go to be with him. And we can rejoice in that. May God bless us, each and every one. Well, I've gone a little over. But anyway, I kind of hurried through that last part. Did you notice? Anyway, that's beside the point. We're going to sing, and we're going to have Holy Communion. 6